13. I've got a couple of announcements that I need to make. Y'all just bear with me. I'm kind of messed up this morning. I couldn't stand. I was just wobbling around up there. I'm like, I'm about to fall down. Just a couple of announcements. The worship team is going to have a worship session tonight at 6. I don't want to say worship practice, although they will be working on technical stuff as well, but they're going to have a worship session. Best way I can describe it is they're going to have a worship session tonight at 6 o'clock. Like I said, they will be working on some technical stuff, but there's going to be a lot of free-flow worship. That's open to whoever wants to come. If you want to come, man, no pressure. I'll be honest with you. I'll probably spend half my time just laying in the floor. Just, you know, there's no agenda from our end. Just a thing of we're going to come and just engage God in an unusual way and see what He does and just love on Him. You know, sometimes the best thing I can do is just love on my wife and with no agenda. And I want to just come in and just love on the Lord. And the worship team, one thing they're wanting to do is step up more when they're in their practices and different things. And so they are going to have a worship session tonight at 6. So it's open to whoever wants to come. You know, like I said, there will be some technical. So don't think they're going to come in and just do a regular worship set. It's going to be what it is. So it'll be good. I promise you that. Also, a week from Thursday, we're going to be ministering at our church. Will be taking care of ministering at CCC a week from Thursday. That starts at 4 o'clock. If you can be there at 4, if you can't be there till 5 or 6, then you come at 6. And we do this periodically where we go in. We're responsible for cooking the meal. We're responsible for doing the food baskets and get our boxes and getting those together and helping with that. If you've never been, I encourage you to go. There's a ton of need. We want to minister to Haiti, and we want to minister to Uganda, and we want to minister all over the world, but there's a lot of need in Harrison County. And so we want to step up, and we want to do that as well, and it's always good when we go. And, you know, Jeffrey's on the board up there, and it's just a tremendous ministry that we're connected to. So it's our church's time to do a week from Thursday. Brother Keith's going to head up the cooking. So if you want to say, man, you know what, I would like to help with the food preparation and all that, then contact Brother Keith. So Linda can shoot you and what you can do to help and all of that. And if you want to come, I always just go help fill boxes and carry boxes out to cars is what I do. And I love it. I dig it. So that's going to be the 30th, which is a week from Thursday, correct? The 30th, a week from Thursday. So remember that. We'll be announcing that again. Should I hit the rest of these? I need to. Let's see what we got. Let me just throw out a couple dates for you, okay? Ignite, practice for our Easter celebration will be Wednesdays at 5:30. We're extending the age of participants all the way to youth group. This will be a worship experience. That is engaging the kids, the youth coming in. They're going to be Easter Sunday, I think, is when we're doing that. Easter Sunday, which is April 16th this year. And we're just going to come in and we're going to worship the Lord. And the kids are working on some special stuff. So I'm really excited about that. And then we're having an Easter egg hunt on April 9th at 5 o'clock. Bring a picnic for your family and enjoy an evening of fellowship and games. So that's going to be here at the church, April 9th, 5 o'clock. So we'll hit you with some more stuff. Stay tuned into your emails. Ariel sends out emails on all of this stuff, so just stay tuned into that. All right, let's dive into the Word and just see how the Lord speaks to us. The Lord gave me, at the beginning of the year, the Lord gave me a word that this was going to be a year of the budding rod. And He carried me to number 17 in the story of Aaron and God's choosing of Aaron and His kiss on Aaron's life. We come in and we look, and without doing too much background teaching and all, just giving you a real brief. Aaron was the priest to the nation of Israel. There were others that came up and said, what makes him so special? You know, why don't we get to the same blessings and outpouring and opportunities and all that Aaron does? And God said, okay, He said, Aaron's chosen because Aaron positions himself to be chosen. That's Sid paraphrasing right here. But basically what he did was he said, get a leader from each of the 12 tribes, bring in a rod. We'll put a rod in by the Ark of the Covenant, and I'm going to show you who I chose. And so he came in, and everybody that was a leader of the tribe, they brought a rod in. And then Aaron was in representing his people, and he came, and these rods were placed in, and some of the rods nothing happened to, and then Aaron's rod budded, but not only did Aaron's rod bud, but Aaron's rod also produced almonds, and that was God's kiss on Aaron in saying that this is my chosen. And God spoke to me, and he said, this is going to be a year where the world starts to see my kiss on your life, where the world sees my kiss on your life. Okay? It was obvious down here a while ago who loved you. That was obvious. I want to go when I'm out with my wife and I'm doing things with my wife, there's no gray area on if there's anything there or not. When you see us together and you see us interacting in the house, I want you to see my kiss on her and her kiss on me. And God said, this is going to be the year that His kiss is on our life. And this thing is a layered thing, because there are four groups of people over here in Numbers 17. You know, without teaching all this, there's four groups of people. One group of people did not even have a rod to bring to the hunt. That's the lost and dying world out there. They ain't even got a dog in this thing. Okay? We want to reach them and we want to bring them in. But as of right now, they're outside of covenant. My great commission is to go and reach them and compel them to come and bring Christ to them, release heaven into them, bring them into this covenant family. But within the covenant family, there are three different types of people. Within this assembly, there's three different types of people. You've got one group of people and they've got a rod, but it didn't bud. I'm saved and I'm going to heaven. Yes, I'm of the tribe of Israel and all of this stuff. I might even be of the tribe of Levi, and I'm coming in and I've got a rod and that's great and I'm glad you're going to heaven. But dude, you're missing out on so much. There's so much awesome more in this wonderful journey that we are on. And it is amazing and it is mind-blowing. And nothing out there can touch this thing of this journey with God. Nothing else can touch this. And you've got one group of people within this, and they've got a rod. They're going to heaven. Your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, but that's about it. The next group's got a budding rod, and that's good, and it's evident. It's proof of life. And we're coming, and we see this, and we're like, yay, God. There's proof of life there. But then you've got this one group that's above everything else, and not only did their rod bud, but their rod's going to produce almonds. And I believe that God says, I'm going to come in, and there's going to be some 30 and some 60 and some 100-fold this year. But there's going to be my kiss on their life, and you're going to see it. And I believe it comes back. I know it comes back to He gives bread to the eater and seed to the sower. Bread to the eater and seed to the sower. And I want to be the eater that gets bread. Because I want God moving in my life and I want God blowing up in my life. And I am convinced, guys, that hunger's a choice. I'm convinced hunger's a choice. Hunger's not a choice for my 2-year-old granddaughter or my 1-year-old granddaughter. When it kicks in, but hunger's a choice with me. Me and Lori, we love to eat so much. We do. Good gosh, we love to eat. We almost plan our life around eating. Well, I mean, we're not overly obese. We're out of shape, but we're hanging in there pretty good for our age. To be 50-ish, we're hanging in there pretty decent. But we love, if you travel with us, you will find that when we go on trips, we plan our trips around where we're going to eat. And I'll try somewhere new. Randy and Terry went to Charleston with us a couple weekends ago. And before we even went, we're like, all right, we're eating at the Red Drum one night. We're eating at Acme Seafood Low Country Kitchen one night. We're going to eat over here at this one night at Mamacito's. And we're going to go over here one night. And we're going to try something. We're going to find a good sushi place somewhere and find something new one night. But we're planning it out. We're going to South America next month. We're going down to Argentina. And the first thing that Lori asked me when I started planning this trip about a year ago, she said, how's the food going to be? I said, well, they're going to be plenty of beef down there. I said, two things they big on. They big on Malbecs and they're big on beef. And I said, they're going to be plenty of beef and all that stuff. But we're going to spend 2 days in Buenos Aires before we go, on down into Patagonia. And I'm already, what I've been doing for the last few months, you know what I'm doing? I'm searching out restaurants in Buenos Aires saying, all right, I'm going to plan my day according to this, this, and this. And hunger's a choice. You know what I won't do when I've got these things planned out? I won't be like, I need me a little snack. I'm going to go through drive-thru at Mickey D's and get me something. Get me a little something-something so it ruins my meal. Hunger is a choice for me. Hunger in your spiritual life is a choice. It's not just something. We've got this jacked up misconception that we think God will make some people hungry and some people He just don't make hungry. That's not true. That's not true. God will do. I've used the illustration before. Any of you guys that have done deep sea fishing and trolling with deep sea fishing, if you're trolling, not bottom fishing, if you're trolling, there'll be a teaser out there and it's along the top. And that thing just, you know, it's doing this thing. It looks nothing like any of the bait fish out there, but it is to catch the fish's attention. And then behind it, you've got the ballyhoo, which is the live bait, or, you know, semi-live bait. You know, it's a real fish and it's trailing behind it. And that teaser will catch the sailfish or the marlin. It'll catch, or the tuna. It'll catch its attention, and then it'll come up by what caught its attention, but then it'll eat the real thing, and God will do that in our lives. God will put teasers out there. That's not a negative thing. That's a positive thing. God wants to attract your attention. When she was pursuing me, the first thing she had to do was attract my attention. Amen? I had another girlfriend at the time. So she had to attract my attention to get me away. Amen? I was 18. Okay, we were high school sweethearts. But that's the principle here. And she's coming in. She's worried, y'all. I've only been married once, and she's my wife. She's not a homewrecker or anything like that. But God will come in, and He will attract our attention with something, but the hunger is up to us. The hunger's up to us. Hard for me to catch a trout that's not hungry. But if one's hungry, I got a real good shot at it. I got a real good shot at it if he's hungry. I've just got to get his attention and then present something in there, and then the hunger will take over. And so we have a choice on whether or not to be hungry. In this story in Matthew 13, and I refer to something over in Mark 4, and I'm not going to read all of this for time's sake, but I would be amiss if we skip past this today. Jesus came in and he's teaching, the word said, by the seaside. Multitudes have come. Now, Jesus was attracting such crowds. The word says that he was attracting larger crowds than John the Baptist. Many scholars feel like he, and we know from the fact that he fed 5,000, he fed 4,000. That's just the men. That's not the women and children. So he was attracting crowds of 10,000 plus. So he's got all of these people that are coming out here to hear him teach, to hear him preach, to see the miracles and all. And in this portion of Scripture, Jesus is coming in, and there are so many people that have come out. He has to get in a ship and get off the shore a little bit so the crowd doesn't press in on him. Give him a little space. And you got all of this multitude of people up here. And so Jesus gets in and Jesus starts teaching. He starts laying all of these kingdom mysteries on them. In this portion, he's talking all in parables. I forgot how many that he spoke of right in here. There were like seven or nine or something just in this portion. Sometimes y'all think it's long when I give you two or three different words, but I mean, so he rolled it out there. They would go late into the day, and Jesus, and you got all of these people that would come in. Now, this is amazing to me. All of these people would come in, and they would listen to Jesus hours on end. Sometimes he would multiply food, feed the masses, and all of this. And in the end of this, after he's through, it says when Jesus was alone, when he withdrew himself from the people, dismissed the people, the disciples were with him. And it said that in Mark, it clarifies, and it said, and those that were with the disciples. So you've got this small group of people that are here. I don't know the exact number. It could have been 25, it could have been 75, it could have been 100. But it was those that connected themselves to his disciples, and they hung around when everybody else got dismissed. And they asked him, they said, Jesus, you've been teaching all morning. And you taught in parables. Why are you teaching in parables? Why are you teaching these people in parables? Hard for them to understand, man. They're not getting this. I don't feel like the average man is getting this. As a pastor, I feel like that a lot. You know, are people really getting it? And you know what Jesus' response to them was? Jesus said that word wasn't for them, it was for y'all. That does not mean that on some Sundays the word will be for you and the next Sunday the word will be for somebody else. That's not what that means. What that means is the eater receives bread. The sower receives seed. That's what that means. He said these 8,000 people, 10,000 people that just left scratching their head saying, man, that was different, that was unique, that was good. I really didn't get all of it. I don't understand the spinning lady or the guy that's jumping up and down or the people that's drunk on the stage or this person. I didn't get all of that, but that was different. It was okay. I hate to keep referring to y'all, but I got kind of messed up over y'all a while ago. And it's up to y'all whether y'all walk this thing out or not. Y'all can totally blow it. 6 months from now, y'all can be out doing whatever you were doing before your encounter with God. You know, the stuff I was doing before my encounter with God and everything. But today, you got it. Today, you got it. Today, you felt what you needed to feel. You not only felt the embrace of covenant marriage from Him, you felt the embrace of covenant marriage from Yahweh. Okay? And so He's coming in and He's saying, all of these other people, this wasn't for them, this was for y'all. And so I'm sitting here and I'm asking myself the question, what was the difference maker? What differentiated these people from everybody else? Because He just dismissed 10,000 people that He loved. He just dismissed 10,000 people that He was going to hang on a cross and shed His blood for. It wasn't a thing that He was disinterested in them. He was going to Calvary's cross for them in a short period of time. He was going to give everything that He had for them. But He said the one that is the eater is the one that the bread's for. He said it was for them. Or you, not them. It's for you, not them. And so they're coming in there saying, what makes them special? What makes you fill in the blank, whatever spiritual hero, spiritual leader that you have or that you see, or the person that's all of this stuff? I've had people say to me about my marriage relationship with my wife and just say, well, y'all were just special and y'all were unique and y'all were just lucky. No, it ain't. We made a choice. When we were 18 years old, we made a choice. We made a choice before we even got saved. Before I even got saved, we made a choice. And we said, this is what we're going to walk in. And so you know what that did? That attracted the promises of God. That attracted the blessings of God. That attracted the hand of God. That attracted the favor of God. The eater gets the bread. The sower gets the seed. Let me read you some notes right here. In Matthew 13, Jesus is speaking to the multitudes in parables. After He has finished, the disciples and those that remained followed them. Mark 4:10, ask Him why He spake to the multitudes in parables. And His response, what is it? Wasn't for them, it was for you. These are the ones whose rods produced almonds. So I asked myself the question, what distinguished these? The Lord carried me to two people that distinguished these. Person that carried to me, and I made mention of them a while ago, was Mary of Bethany. We look in the story in John 12, and it's a beautiful story. It's a story of Jesus is about to go to the cross. He has already raised Lazarus from the dead. They had a supper for Him at Mary and Martha and Lazarus' house. Jesus is the guest of honor, but Lazarus just got raised from the dead after 4 days dead. He's sitting there, and you got all these amazing cats in here, and you know who gets all the print out of that? Mary. And you know why Mary gets the print out of that? Because the eater gets the bread. She recognizes that this is a supernatural moment, a supernatural encounter, a supernatural opportunity. And so you know what she does? She seizes that and acts upon it. She says, my gosh, this is a glorious moment. See, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to touch Him in an uncommon way. Everybody else is touching Him in a common way. Everybody else is touching him in an uncommon way. But I'm going to touch him different. I'm going to minister to him different. And so we've got all of these great stories about Mary now. You see a glimpse of it when earlier in the thing where she's sitting at Jesus' feet listening to him teach, and Martha's making peanut butter sandwiches that Jesus didn't order. And Martha's complaining about Mary. Said, Lord, why is she doing all this extravagant stuff and she's not helping me and everything? We know that story. I'm not going to get into all that. Jesus said, look, Martha, you're worried about stuff you don't need to be worried about. She's chosen the better thing. She's chosen the better thing. That she was so lost in that moment. Mary recognized something superior in this time and moment with Christ above ministering in the natural. When we recognize the superior aspect of a moment, we will place our focus, affection in that moment. Everything else is a blur. Everything else is a blur. When you get caught up in that moment, everything else is a blur. How many of you guys like to hunt deer? Got any deer hunters in here? When's the best time to hunt deer? The rut. The rut's the best time to hunt deer. Why is the rut the best time to hunt deer? It's breeding season. What is their mind totally 100, 1,000% focused on? The doe. Women. It gets you every time, doesn't it, brother? 1,000% focused on the doe. Everything else is a blur. I've been standing in the middle of a fire break and have a buck chasing a doe come by and stop at 40 yards and just be like, any other time of year, I couldn't get within a quarter mile of that deer because he's too smart, he's too aware. But in that brief season, in that brief moment, he gets lost in something that in his mind is superior to everything else. You say, yeah, I need to get you in trouble and it'll get you killed and all that stuff, but you know who breeds the does? You know whose offspring you see? The one that gets lost in the rut. You don't see fawns looking like this old buck hanging out over here at the food plot because he's hungry, in a different sense of hungry. But you see the offspring of one that gets lost, that recognizes the superiority of the moment and is willing to risk everything to chase after something because he knows that's what he's designed to do. That's his whole thing. I absolutely love the purpose of Salmon when they've spent years in the ocean and then they come back to the river from which that they were eggs hatched in. They come back to that exact same river and they go through everything, dodging brown bears and everything else, waterfalls, man-made obstacles, and do everything that they can to get upstream, to lay eggs and die. But they recognize the superiority of the moment. And you know what that does? That keeps the species alive. When that goes, the species dies. And there are a group of people that I see in the Word. Come on now, there's a group of people that I see in the Word and they get so lost in the moment and they get so lost in purpose and they get so lost in a superior way and a superior opportunity that they throw caution to the wind and they say nothing else matters except this moment right here, and I'm a direct result of that today. And you are a direct result of that today. And anybody that stood down here as a new convert and being filled with the Holy Spirit, you're a direct result of somebody. You're the DNA of that person. And that's the ones that get bread. I look at the woman with the issue of blood. The Lord brought her to my mind as well. We all know the story of the woman with the issue of blood. She had this issue to where she had been bleeding for years. She had spent everything she had on doctors. And the thing about that is it separated her from every part of society. She was considered unclean. She couldn't go into the temple. She couldn't do any of these worship activities. She couldn't engage in them because she was unclean because of the sin stain on her life. I'll say sin stain on her life. She comes in and she sees opportunity to reach out in faith and touch Jesus. He's going through the crowd. Most of us know the story. He's going through the crowd. And all of these people are thronging on Jesus. Man, they are reaching out. Y'all know, y'all ever been around when somebody's famous, you know, a ball player, somebody come famous in the natural comes through, and everybody's out there. Y'all been down to Georgia or Auburn, or you fill in the blank, and you know, they do the tiger walk or whatever, the dog walk before the game, and they go through the tunnel, and everybody's reaching out. Man, they're trying to high-five all Tim Tebow and everybody that comes by. Y'all know what I'm talking about? So Jesus is coming through, and he's the, if you will, rock star of the day, not being disrespectful. And he's coming through, and everybody's thronging him. Everybody's wanting to touch him and be like, it's Jesus, it's Jesus, it's Jesus, you know. I doubt they were asking for autographs, but in our culture, they would have been hitting him for autographs. And all of a sudden, in the middle of all that, he stops, he freezes, and he said, somebody touch me. And I'm just as his disciples rolling their eyes. Really? There's 3,000 people here, and you said somebody just touched you. He said, yeah, somebody touched me. I felt virtue leave me. And he turns around, and he starts looking. And this woman steps forward. He was on his way to Jairus' house. He had purpose. He had plan and all of that. I'd love to spin off that and do some teaching off that right now. An uncommon touch will change heaven's course sometimes. An uncommon touch will change heaven's course sometimes. You think God's left you behind and you've missed this opportunity and all of that stuff, you're just not touching Him the right way. You're just not touching Him the right way. You're not approaching Him the right way. When you recognize the moment, when you recognize the opportunity, when you recognize that He is here or He is near, then what you have to do is you have to come and approach Him and touch Him in an uncommon way, in a way of faith, in a way of, it's not even need, man. It's just a thing of, I want this. Need's awesome. But it's one thing when my grandkids hug me because they want a piece of candy. But when they hug me just because they want to hug me, that's even better. And I feel that and I know that. So I'm sitting here and I'm looking at this chick and I'm like, what distinguishes these few? What separated these where God said, that wasn't for them, that was for you? Where was it where God comes in and says, Terry Hagan, this is my letter to you. This is my kiss on your life. This is my kiss on your... This is the fruit that's going to bear on your rod that I said yes to. I'm convinced that Aaron's rod budded and bore fruit. Not just because God chose him, but because he said yes to God beforehand. He said yes to God beforehand. And he touched God in an uncommon way. And she touched God in an uncommon way. And he stopped and he responded and he moved and he said, man, this ain't the touch that all these other people got. She was one of hundreds that touched Jesus that day. But she's the one that got something. Because she recognized the moment. And he said, it wasn't for them, it was for you. What makes you that one? Is it because she's special? Is it because she's special? Is it because he's special? All you guys that are in here today, maybe you haven't ever been in anything like this. You're like, man, this is weird. These are some jacked up, whacked out people up here. I know you've seen weirder because you've been in bars. I've seen weirder in Buckhead in the bars. Haven't you? I've seen weirder at Bike Week. I've seen weirder at Sturgis. So don't tell me church is too weird for you. Society loves weird. They make TV shows about Sturgis because it's weird. Full throttle. Wah! But you guys that you come in and you're like, man, that's different. I ain't never been in a religion. Y'all maybe use the word religion. I ain't never been in a religious setting where it was like that and all that. And that's cool that Jeremy can jump up there and speak with such authority and clarity. Thank you for that, by the way, brother. We'll do all that kind of stuff. whatever that stuff is. We have to get with Austin, and Austin will teach us some of that stuff. I'm real cornbread. But he thinks I'm awesome. He thinks I'm the coolest cat. He does. He thinks I am like groovy. He does. God does. And you know why God thinks I'm groovy? Because I'm hungry. You got it. It's because I'm hungry. Because I'm hungry. I'm hungry for Him. I'm hungry for His presence. And you come in and you're like, man, what's the difference in Jeremy or me? And I, nothing. If he got up here and he shared his testimony would be similar to a lot of y'all's testimonies. I kid you not. If Brent House got up here and shared his testimony, it would be eerily similar to a lot of y'all's testimonies. And yet here he stands. God thinks he's groovy too. Sorry, I grew up in the 70s, okay? I'm dating myself. I still like to watch Jimi Hendrix every once in a while. That's Axis TV. I know y'all all are too spiritual and holy, but it's inferior to Bethel, but sometimes it's all right. So that's my thing, guys, is don't come in and think that I am excluded for this for whatever reason. I don't care who you are. I don't care how jacked up your past has been. I don't care if you got saved when you were 12 and you've blown it for 30 years. I don't care if you last year you were on fire and the last 10 months has been dismal for you spiritually. God still longs. He still longs for an uncommon touch. He still says, I wish she would touch me like she touched me last year. And when you do, it's not a, who do you think you are? Where you been? You know what it was? It's like, I've been waiting for that. I believe that's what the earth felt like when Jesus walked on the earth. I believe when Jesus came out of Mary's womb, I know I'm on kind of tangent running a little bit and getting a little weird for everybody today, but I believe when Jesus came out of Mary's womb and He learned to walk and His feet started touching the earth, I believe the earth just like, whew. Can you imagine? You're the earth and you've been under the sin curse for how many years? Let's say 6,000 years. And the Spirit brooded in the heavens and you knew it was up there. And there was angelic visitations and stuff that happened here. But the Messiah, the Redeemer, the one that would step forth in Revelation and take the scroll out of Father God's hand, the first time that His foot touched that dirt in Jerusalem, can you imagine how the earth shuddered? Woo, son! I bet it was just kind of like, I bet the earth got drunk in the Holy Ghost. Why not? Why not creation? We can. Why not creation? Guys, I'm talking about an uncommon touch. I'm talking about hunger this morning. And I'm talking about a group of people that you can have a rod and you say, man, I ain't going to hell and I'm going to heaven and I'll applaud you and one day you'll spend eternity up there. But I believe that there's another group of people and I believe there's a group of people in this room and there is something in you. There is something in you that just flips, and there's something in you that comes alive. I saw T.W. down there ministering a while ago, and I was just digging it. I was just sitting there saying, sick 'em God, yay God, I'm just loving it. He's in a good place, but I'm so digging it a while ago. I love when Jeremy got it. He said, can I have the mic? I'm like, please do. Please do. And there's something in us that wants more than just escaping hell. There's something in us. You know what my granddaughters do in the natural? Nearly without exception, about every time I see them, you know what they've got on? Little princess costume. They do. Don't they, Lord? That's our dress code on the farm. And they've got like 14 each. I'll ask them, I said, what princess is that? And they're kind of like, don't you know, Poppy? Duh. That's Eleanor of Avalon. My point is on that, is they don't come into this thing dreaming about one day I'm going to scrape by and I'm going to endure this hard life and I hope I escape hell and make it to heaven. That's not in them. You know what's in them? A princess. And I'm powerful. And they start dreaming about getting married one day. And having babies one day. Reproducing. You try to go somewhere without Caroline's whatever. There she is. Lord have mercy, she's lost. You try to go somewhere without that. I'm shocked she's not with her right now. What's her name? Lex. See, y'all even know her baby name. Y'all out in the crowd, y'all would know her name. Here's my point on this. My 3-year-old granddaughter has got something in her that makes her think as a 3-year-old that I'm a princess and I'm going to be married one day and I'm going to be a mama one day. And God put it there. Poppy didn't put it there and Gigi didn't put it there and Sharon didn't put it there. God put it there. And I'm saying that there is some stuff that God put in you. There is stuff that God put in you that only comes alive under the sound of His voice. It only comes alive when His uncommon touch touches you. You say, man, I don't know about all this baptism, Holy Spirit stuff and all of that stuff and all that stuff. It's because it only comes alive when His breath hits you. But when His breath hits you, something's birthed. Andrew, something's birthed in you. And there is so much. Absolutely so much in there that's uncommon that if you will start touching Him in that uncommon way, you know what will happen? It won't be, well, that wasn't meant for Him. You'll be one of the ones standing there with the disciples and He'll be saying, this was meant for you. This was meant for you. This is meant for you. Because hunger's a choice. Pressing in's a choice. Pressing in's a choice. You want revival in your life? It's a choice. See, I'm waiting for the church to catch revival. Don't. This is just, we ain't talking about a series of me. It's a choice. Start living in it. I'm waiting for visitations. Huh. Get hungry. It's choice. God will meet you there. God will meet you there. He'll give you supernatural sleep. He'll give you visitations. He'll give you crazy encounters. He'll come in and do that. He does me, and I'm not different from any of you guys. He does them. They're not different from any of you guys. He's not different from any of you ladies in here. She grew up in Drake Town, playing basketball and watching Soul Train. True. If God can visit a little girl from Drake Town, I don't know where you're from. Amarillo, Texas. Anamosa, Iowa. Been there, got a t-shirt. That ought to be a God sign to you right there, Andrew. Come in the other night, man, where y'all from? He said, I'm from Iowa. I said, what part? He told me, he said, you ever been to so-and-so? I said, well, yeah, I have, but I said, most of my time I've spent in Anamosa. That's where I'm from. You ain't nothing up there. I promise you, ain't nothing up there. I'm like, you know John Parham? Yeah. I do business with him. I do business with Zach. I know Zach. Yeah, I grew up with him. That's a God kiss, brother. That ain't a coincidence. That's a God kiss. many churches could you wind up in Bremen, Georgia, where the pastor knows Zach Parham from Anamosa, Iowa? One. That's it. So you know what that is? That's an uncommon touch from God on his life. So that's God saying, I'm going to touch you because you couldn't orchestrate this thing. So these 2 or 3 weeks that you're here, you know what that says? God's saying, I want to touch you in an uncommon way. And in return, you know what that means? You have got a window to touch for you to touch God in an uncommon way. See the 2 feet off each other. When she touches me in an uncommon way, I touch her in an uncommon way. And it's all in this bridal thing. That's what I want to get across to you, because I'm going to keep hammering this bridal thing, because that's a superior covenant. If you're single, I'm talking about bridal this way. I use that as an illustration, but I'm talking about bridal this way. A lot of people say the Apostle Paul was single, and that's cool. So this isn't, I'm not just talking about an earthly, that's just an illustration. But this bridal covenant is a superior thing. It's a superior thing. It produces something. It produces that. It produces that. And that's glorious. So let's press into that. Who gets the bread? The eater. Who gets the seed? Sower. Y'all stand to your feet. This week, are you going to be an eater? Are you going to be an eater? Are you going to be a sower? Because if you are, that's who gets the fruit on the rod. Not just the rod. I've had the rod since 1986. But 2017, God told me, it's the year of the budded rod, but you know what He told me personally? I'll go ahead and just give y'all a little insight into what God whispered to me. Jeremy, He told me that 2017 was going to be a year that my rod just didn't bud, but it's going to produce almonds. So you know what I'm doing with that? I'm running with that. And I'm believing that. And I'm receiving that. And I'm releasing like there's going to be an unlimited supply of seed that comes in. I am. Because seed goes to the sower. If you're going to sit there with your rod and say, oh, I hope something happens. You might be at the end of the year and you still got your rod. But He touched me in an uncommon way, because I've been trying to touch Him in an uncommon way. All right? Everybody get that this week? Hungry? Hungry? Choose it. You're going to teach me some of that stuff, okay, brother? Choose it. Hunger. I told y'all I plan my life around hunger. On food. Let's do it on the spiritual. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. That's straight out. I learned that since I was a little boy. Straight out, Miss Jackie. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Yeah. All right. Gonna rock it out this week? I love you. What's cool is Yahweh loves you more than I do.
I know.
That's what's awesome. I can go 2 years without, I don't mean to embarrass her, but see, we tight. I can go 2 years without seeing this girl. It ain't been that long, but I can go 2 years without seeing this girl. When I see her, my heart leaps. And I don't know what she's been into or not into or anything else, but my heart still leaps. And you know what that is with Father God? That's Father God showing me how He feels about me. Don't matter how bad I've been blowing it. When He sees me, He's like, "Whoa!" His heart leaps. He's like, "God, I love you." It's genuine. It's no agenda, no fake. So y'all leave this place full and rich and blessed and release it into the world, all right? Amen. Amen. Anybody got anything that you need to pray about after the service? We're going to just release. We're not doing an altar call. We've had hours down here today. So, but if anybody has anything that you need to pray about, I'm available. My wife's available. Robin's available. See, many of these people down here, you grab somebody, and you know what? If they're like, they'll grab somebody. We're available. Do not leave this place unfulfilled. Don't leave this place unfulfilled. Don't leave it unfulfilled. Amen? Let's dismiss in a word of prayer. Brother Gordon, you want to catch us, brother?